Okay, well, now that we've been talking about wide receivers, shall we talk about wide receivers?
Probably.
All right, let's get into it. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Football Absurdity Podcast. My name is Jeff Crisco, here with my co-host, Walker Kelly, and recently traded to the Houston Texans, Mike Valverde. Mike, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Can't wait to work with CJ Stroud and be the number one wide receiver on the team. So I'm excited for what's coming up. And just thank God I have the skill to be here and looking forward to it 100%.
Both teams played hard. God bless. Good night.
Good night.
Walker, how are you doing today?
Pretty good. Yeah. I went to golf practice with the golf team today and I shot 1 over 36.
What constitutes golf practice? Would that just be playing golf?
Yes, that is
okay.
Correct.
Because it's like you think about golf.
Well,
like,
sometimes you go to the range and hit balls.
Yeah.
To work on your swing, and then sometimes you do chipping and putting around the putting green.
Yeah, or you just go sand traps. Yeah.
Right, but yeah, a lot of times you just go out and play 9 holes.
Okay, so that's what I was thinking of. I was like, because golf is one of the few sports that when you practice, you can do like discrete skills, like putting and teeing off, or you know, sand, you know, traps, or you know, medium game or whatever. So okay, all right, well, cool, sounds good. So we're going to talk about wide receivers today in the NFL draft. Same format as before, except we are actually going to have a second episode on wide receivers because they're not trash. They're actually very good in this class. Not like the running backs who are hot garbage, as we said last week.
Yeah, here's the thing. I said I had two running backs with third round grades, and that was it. I have 3 first-round grades, 3 second-round grades, and 8 third-round grades on receivers this class.
I have projecting 5 to 6 wide receivers going in the first round.
Yeah, I'm assuming it's your top 5, and then Worthy is like the half.
Worthy. I don't believe in Xavier Worthy. I don't think he's a very good player.
Okay, but that's not what you isn't. But where do you think he's going to get drafted?
Round 2.
Okay.
Yeah. So I have my top 5, and then I have Keon Coleman being late round 1, early round 2.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. So Keon Coleman is your 6.
Correct.
That's fine.
Yeah. And then Xavier Worthy is my 8th behind Bad McConkey.
Ah, you guys are going to get mad at me once we get past 6.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Yeah. We won't get into it too much on this episode, of course, but just as a little preview. Yeah. I mean, wide receiver 7, Jalen McMillan.
Wow. I haven't even watched Jalen McMillan yet. I'm getting there.
8, Troy Franklin, which that's pretty normal, I would say.
Yeah, Troy Franklin, I have 10th, so.
9th, Malik Washington.
Wait, no, stop doing this. This is next episode.
Okay.
Stop it.
Well,
stop
I'll it. Say I'll say I have McConkey at 12.
12?
Bad McConkey.
Wow,
you gotta call
okay.
him by his real name, Baggin McConkey. I think McConkey has a decent Hunter Renfrow-esque career, and I think that that's something that a team will draft.
Yeah, but he did play a lot outside as well. Like, he's... I mean, I could see statistical production in the similar vein of Hunter Renfrow, but he's not really the same type of player.
Yeah, I gotcha. All right, so let's start by talking about actually good wide receivers, shall we? Let's start with Marvin Harrison Jr. out of Ohio State. Official figure 6'4", 209. Did not do any measurements at the combine other than that. So he has no RAS score. The presumptive number one wide receiver in this class. If there weren't... other like if this was the Kenny Pickett class, he would probably be the number one overall pick.
Yeah, I think that's almost 100% true. I mean, who had the number one pick that year?
Let's go look at that class. I don't know why I called it the Penny Kick.
Oh, that was Trevon Walker, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah,
that was about 2022.
something like that. Yeah, 2021 maybe. I don't remember. No, 2022. Yeah, Jacksonville took Trayvon Walker first. So yeah, Harrison definitely would have went number one.
Yeah, that was a really weird top four. Walker, Hutchinson, Stingley, and Sauce.
And then Thibodeau was next, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, that all defensive players.
Yeah, weird first. So, Mike, this is your guy. Well, not like you discovered him, but this is who you're going to talk about. So, Mike,
have you heard about this guy?
Gee, Mike, I don't know. Mike, being a Colts fan, I don't know. Never heard of this guy.
Yeah, I've heard of this guy's dad, Mike.
Maybe a little bit.
So let's talk about Marvin Harrison. Who is he as a player? Let's get into it.
Yeah, the one thing that really popped off the page for me was his great footwork and agility. That allows him to snap off his routes exceptionally well for his size. He definitely has good acceleration and speed, very good explosive ability. And when it comes to stopping, he can do that on a dime. Dominant outside, but can also play the slot as well. And then what he'll do too is vary his speed. So that throws the defensive back off pace. So instead of just like going 100% all the time or 25%, which you really don't want to do, but you can do, he'll vary it just to throw the defensive back off balance. And of course the negatives, is we know is his frame. He's just a little too skinny for it. And that's going to cause him to, especially at the NFL level, battle the press, defensive backs press. As far as yards per catch go, he's pretty much average, and kind of just like his dad, will go down on first contact. As soon as the defensive back hits him, he kind of goes down. He's going to need some improvement against the press, obviously. And then had some uncharacteristic drops in 2023. So those were things that you don't want to see. But overall, someone who can play outside and the slot, it's always important and has some very good acceleration and speed.
Yeah, the drops was one thing that kind of jumped off the page at me when I was – or jumped off the tape at me when I was watching him. And I don't think that that's going to be endemic at the NFL level, because I think that's him, I don't know, being just kind of done with NCAA. Just like, hey, every drop, it seemed like he was just trying to do the most. Like, hey, instead of catching this ball, I'm going to try to catch this ball and turn up field immediately. And that's the sort of thing that can get coached out of him at the NFL level. I think it was just kind of like, you know, you see it with baseball players a lot who get bored with their level and they just kind of tweak and play with stuff. And then they don't necessarily produce up to their level when they're in the minor leagues. And so I think that that's not something to worry about with Marvin Harrison. I said that, you know, he already has the chops and the route running and the poise of an NFL veteran. I mean, he's been in the game as long as he's been alive. Like, he has one of the greatest wide receivers in the history of the league as his dad, teaching him how to be a player basically as soon as he could walk. The way that he plays, we had a whole debate before the episode. Walker, I put in my notes, he reminds me of AJ Green or Alshon Jeffrey. So we're kind of on the same page there.
There we go.
Okay. Yeah. AJ Green, Alshon Jeffrey, Allen Robinson, that type of big player, just a little bit skinnier. My one sentence scouting on him is he's incredibly refined, great at getting open, very good at contested catches, but he needs to eat a couple cheeseburgers. DBs could have been making his life a little bit of a mess on 50-50 balls because of his size. I think at the NFL level, he could get jammed pretty, like if Jalen Ramsey decides he's just going to put a hand in his chest on every play, he could get redirected pretty easily his rookie year just because of his size. But I said he's a stunningly good receiver who should hit the ground running in 2024. He's a top five pick, depending on five would be a boon if he gets past the Cardinals. I think he's going to the Cardinals.
Cardinals. Court. Yeah, I agree. Yeah,
I fully expect that as well. And I think for fantasy, we are a fantasy show. I think he's probably he will certainly come in and be the Cardinals number one receiver immediately. And I think he's pretty clearly a top 24 wide receiver as a rookie.
Yeah, I'm thinking I would probably take him late round three just because of his guaranteed volume and his skill set.
Yeah, I think that's perfectly fine. I think once you're past like the top 30 picks, you know, you're like pretty obvious studs.
Mm-hmm.
I think that taking a chance on Harrison is very warranted.
Yeah. Mike, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree. And then as far as like dynasty rookie drafts go, he could very well go number one. Mm-hmm. even in super flex leagues. So it's either going to be Caleb Williams or Marvin Harrison at one or two. So that's
my buddy in my home league, which turned into a dynasty league, he tanked for the number one overall pick. It's a super flex, thinking that he was going to get Caleb Williams. Now he's agonizing
over what to do.
He's not 100% sure.
Personally, I think he should take Caleb Williams.
I think so too, but he's stressed about it to the point that he's trying to figure out a way to get number two also so that he can just not make a bad mistake.
Mm.
Yeah. I think Marvin Harrison, nobody's can't miss, but he's already, there's not a lot of projectable in him. It's just, he already is what he is, and what he is incredible.
Yeah. He's really good. I mean, he should, at some point in his career, he will almost assuredly be thought of as one of the five best receivers in the game.
Mm-hmm.
He's an elite prospect.
Yeah. So let's go on to the second guy, Malik Nabers out of LSU, 6 foot, 200. I want to ask you both, is Marvin Harrison Jr. in his own tier, or is he in a tier with Nabers and, for some folks, me included, Roma Dunze?
I think it's nitpicking, but I do think Marvin is a little bit better than those two guys.
Mm-hmm.
Nabers and Odunze are virtually tied for me, honestly. The way I used to do grades is I would do round grades, but then I would do top five and top 10. Harrison would get a top five grade, and Nabers and Odunze would both get a top 10 grade.
Yeah, I have, I think I have Nabers and Odunze as, let me see. I have them both top 10. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that they're, you know, they're both fantastic players, but I do think Harrison is that little bit more easy to project with how refined he is. Right. I think that's the special part, is that he's extremely plug and play. You know, he can be a number one receiver, you know, right now. And yeah. I think when he is drafted, he will immediately be one of the 20 best receivers in the NFL. And Odunze, you know, Nabers, I feel like won't hit the ground running quite like that. But I do expect him to have a good and explosive rookie season. This is a guy who thrives down the field. He is very fast. He's very agile. He's quick. He's sudden. Has late hands. He's quite good after the catch. Not the biggest guy. He's not going to like run people over, but he's good at avoiding contact, getting yards after the catch. Good at coming back to the ball. I think he was Jaden Daniels' best friend a lot this year. Daniels tends to run when he goes outside the pocket, but when the play broke down, Nabers was the guy that Daniels looked to and trusted the most. Mm-hmm. I think he will be, his floor is like really good wide receiver too. And his ceiling is top 10 receiver in the league. So, I mean, he's, you know, like a Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson in that area.
I don't know if I like a lot of what you said about Nabers, and I think he and Odunze are back to back. Like we talked about it in the group chat. I just prefer Odunze because I don't know. Nabers, he's a very athletic wide receiver. He was inconsistent. He inconsistently used his athleticism to me. But when he did decide to use it, it was incredible. It could be that sort of thing with Marvin Harrison, where he can be maximized via coaching at the NFL level. He did I didn't like his contested catch ability. He didn't really do a whole lot on contested catches. In fact, one thing that I noticed that I started to really not be able to stop noticing, which is if the ball is contested and it's probably one that he's going to have to fight really hard to get, he just really just tries to sell DPI instead. Like he'll start to he'll jump and start to flail around and hopefully get DPI. I think Chris Olave is actually not bad, because much like Chris Olave, he needs to get thrown in the deep end his rookie year, I think, to be good for fantasy. I don't think he's going to be a guy that can thrive on like 85 targets his rookie year. I think he needs to be the guy to learn how to do it, because if he's getting 5 or 6 like deep shots a game, I don't know if he has NFL I don't think he has NFL refinement on that type of plays, on those type of plays yet. He can get there. I'm just not super convinced of him his rookie year. My comp for him was like good Torrey Smith. Like I've seen things like DeSean Jackson, which I think is a little high end. I think Torrey Smith's a little low end, but I'm struggling to find somebody in the middle.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird that you're going with an older player this time and I'm going with a current player.
Yeah, that is the opposite of how things usually go.
But yeah, Olave, I think, is a good comp, especially your air yards with Neighbors is going to be quite high.
Yeah.
He's not the best like at, you know, going up and stealing the ball away, but I really don't think you are planning on using a 6-foot, 200-pound receiver that way. No. He's going to be a guy. He's going to end up being like one of those guys that everybody argues whether he's a wide receiver one or not. And he's, you know, every year he gets drafted at somewhere between wide receiver 10 and wide receiver 16. And he's like really good, but not elite.
Yeah.
Like Amari Cooper, maybe. I mean, not that refined, but like that level of career where he's just like uber consistent around like 10 to 15.
What about Jalen Waddle if he only got deep balls? That feels like that kind of range.
Yeah, I mean, he could be a Waddle type where he's, again, yeah, like fringe wide receiver one.
Yeah, would be better off with somebody else on the team better than him. Mike, how do you feel about Malik Neighbors? You have him as your number two wide receiver in this class.
Yeah, he's definitely someone that I think the most outstanding skill is his deep threat ability. And then his yards after the catch are his two things that he's really good at. He's good leaping ability, grab and go acceleration type of thing. But he needs to be better at hand fighting. He gets jammed up quite a bit. As you guys talked about, doesn't really win through the air too well. And then when it comes to breaking off routes and that hip sync that you need to break those routes, snap the route tree, he doesn't do very well with that either.
Yeah, he wins more on athleticism than refinement, I think, when I watch him play.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. I forgot to say, Neighbors is the number two for everybody. Walker, Mike, Tony, except for me, baby. I have him 3. Same tier as Roma Dunze. And his RAS, I forgot to say, it was 988. So what is the best destination we think for Malik Neighbors' his rookie year?
I guess probably the Chargers. I mean, it's...
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
At this point, he's, you know, I don't think that the Chargers are going to take a receiver at 5, but Neighbors would make a lot of sense. I mean, it'd just be just like Jeff said, he'd be thrown right in and as the number one receiver.
Mm-hmm.
But the offense isn't going to be like preposterously pass heavy. So even as the number one receiver, he's probably going to settle in around like 125 targets. And I think he can probably put up as a rookie like a 70 for over 1,000 and 8 touchdowns.
Yeah, that's not bad. Mike, what do you think?
Titans maybe, or the Jets at 10?
Titans at 8, Jets and 10. I'm Titans at 7, Falcons at 8. Sorry about that. Titans at 7, Jets at 10. I'm going one spot below Walker.
Giants.
Yeah. Daniel Jones will chuck it. There's no good wide receiver one there. There's no running game there. It's Devin Singletary. And he's going to get thrown. I mean, that's.
But it's not a very good offensive line.
They went from Saquon Barkley to Devin Singletary. There's relatively no running game there compared to last year.
Sure.
Yeah. And he'll get thrown right into the deep end.
Yeah. My guess is like the first 4 weeks that he gets out targeted by Darius Slayton and everyone freaks out. And then by like mid season, he's the clear number one.
Yeah, when Darius Slayton gets roll the dice, Liz Frank fracture, you know, whatever lower body injury he gets this time.
I don't think Slayton's been that hurt.
He has. I mean, he hasn't been catastrophic injuries, but he's been in and out. And maybe that's an old opinion of him.
I'm not sure. I'm checking right now because I don't want to be like wrong.
Let's see.
He has played for 5 seasons and he has missed 9 games.
What?
I think you're thinking of all the other Giants receivers.
Every other receiver on the Giants.
Sterling Shepard, Paris Campbell, Isaiah McKenzie.
Maybe I am. Maybe I've just lumped them all together into one receiver who's between 6 foot, 6'2", about 200 pounds and hurt all the time.
Yes, pretty much.
That's every receiver on the Giants.
They have a bunch of guys that are on the IR once a year.
Yeah. All right. So I think that does it for Malik Nabers. Not as high end as Marvin Harrison. He and Roma Dunze, it feels like everybody has him in a tier together. Mike, we didn't get your opinion on that. Are he and Odunze in a tier together?
Yeah, Nabers and Odunze. Yeah, they're pretty close.
Yeah. So whoever gets like there's no like wrong answer for which one goes first. I think it depends on the order teams pick who gets picked first out of those two based on what teams would want.
I think if Harbaugh wants a receiver at 5, it's going to be Odunze.
Yeah. That's I put him as best fit as the Chargers because let me get into it. Roma Dunze out of Washington, 6'3", 212, 991 RAS score. He is probably the second most for lack of a better term, NFL ready receiver in this class. I think that he is he immediately can step in as a team's number one receiver. He's strong. He has good contested catch ability, great ball tracking. Good late hands, good body control. Once he gets the ball in his hands, good size, speed blend, great toughness. He outfights a lot of guys for the ball. Good leverage on leveraging defenders on routes. I think he's an incredibly well-rounded receiver and incredibly well-refined. I think that he takes a bit of Harrison and a bit of Nabers. Like he's fast. He's not as fast as Nabers, but he's faster and he's refined like Harrison. And that's why I like him as the number two in this class, just because you can put him most places and he'll be fine. Like we were talking about with Nabers, like you want a place where he can come in and get a ton of volume and a lot of deep shots. But Odunze is that, you know, he's that receiver that every team wants. I have him going to the Chargers because he could be Jim Harbaugh's Michael Crabtree, like he was with the Niners, a guy who gets 115 targets a year and just kind of moves the chains when the running game isn't doing what he wants it to do. And I think he'll come in and be that red zone weapon as well, because the team's not very big. The team's not very good. So, I mean, it's him and what Donald Parham are going to be the biggest weapons there if he gets drafted there. So I think he's the Keenan Allen replacement in L.A. I'm not entirely convinced that Harbaugh does go. I think he does go. It sounds like he, every time somebody asks him about Joe Alt, he's like,
yeah.
So I think it's going to be Joe Alt there, but I think the best fit would be the Chargers. Or let's see, if it's not the Chargers, let's go.
The Giants.
The Giants. No, the Bears. That's where Tom has them going. All right. So, what do we think about Roma Dunze? We'll start with Mike this time.
Yeah, good catch radius. On top of good ball skills, he has that separation talent. That seems like even against Michigan, he was getting wide open. They just Penix just didn't have the time to get him the ball or overthrew him or didn't make the great completion. But even against that great defense of Michigan, he was getting separation. Has great body control and acrobatic skills. The one negative that I see that pops out to me is just his long speed is kind of average, and he has also average explosiveness. So just those two things is why I put him underneath Malik Nabers, was just because of the long speed and explosiveness.
I mean, that's entirely fair. That's completely understandable. I think we're all very close between Nabers and Adunze, and I think it just depends on what you value at the position. I was listening to Fantasy Football Today Dynasty, and Matt Waldman was on, and he preferred Roma Dunze. Like, if you don't know who Matt Waldman is, first of all, you need to be paying attention to him, not us. First of all, but he
mostly knows what he's doing here.
Yes, he's pretty good at this. He was talking the same thing where it's like Adunze is more ready to go, but Nabers is more that projectable talent that like,
yeah, I think Nabers has the higher ceiling, but I think Roma Dunze is, to me, he's like Michael Pittman with after the catch juice.
Mm-hmm.
So he's, you know, he's the guy who you go to on third down, but instead of on third and eight getting you 10, on third and eight he'll like drag a tackler or he'll slip an arm tackle and he'll get you 16. You know, he's going to be a great red zone target because he's really good at fighting for the ball. He's strong. You know, he's a good leaper. He gets up high points the ball really well. I just think that's definitely translatable. I mean, I know corners are stronger in the NFL, but they're not as big as he is usually, or as put together. I mean, he had countless instances in college where he would just go up over somebody and, you know, control his feet. And I just think he's going to be great on those like sideline catches and stuff. I think, you know, quarterback's best friend for sure.
Yeah. And I mean, there is a world where he is the in this class, the Justin Jefferson to Marvin Harrison, CeeDee Lamb, guy who goes later but ends up a peer. You know, right next to him in terms of rank. And I mean, they're the same size. They have the same kind of athleticism. I'm not saying that that's something that you have him ranked higher than I do. And that goes for both of you. But I'm saying that that is a possibility.
Sure.
Because of his how projectable his skill set is.
I guess I just don't see the ceiling like after the catch necessarily with Jefferson. I think is better there. Jefferson's a better route runner.
Mm-hmm.
But Adunze is, I think, almost assuredly going to be good, and I would agree that he has a higher floor than Nabers does. He's almost guaranteed to be a top 20 receiver in fantasy at some point in his career. I just don't know if he's ever going to be a top 5 receiver.
Okay, that's fair. Also, I completely forgot that the first receiver in that class was Henry Ruggs, which I remember. I forgot the second was Jerry Jeudy. Jerry Jeudy ahead of CeeDee Lamb, and then Jalen Reagor right ahead of Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, that was
Jalen Reagor. Yeah,
rough drafting by the NFL that year.
Well, when I don't know if you both have seen the video where Minnesota literally laughs when Philly takes Jalen Reagor.
Yes.
Because they wanted Justin Jefferson.
Yes, they wanted Jefferson so bad, and they just assumed that he was going to be gone.
Yeah, imagine taking Jerry Jeudy and whiffing on this class. Here's who went after Jerry Jeudy. CeeDee Lamb, Justin Jefferson, Brandon Ayuk, T. Higgins, Michael Pittman. And then it doesn't get great after that. LaVisca Chenault, Chase Claypool. But that run there at the end of
five straight end of the first round, start of the second round, where they're all like significantly better than you.
Yeah, and just to just whiff that hard on taking Jerry Jeudy and then Jalen Reagor, like, oof.
Yeah, even worse.
Yeah.
Who? Here we go. In your opinion, who's the Jalen Reagor of this class?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Jalen Reagor, so a guy who goes late first round.
Yeah, a guy who goes like late first or really early second, who you think is going to be like, you know, a bust.
Maybe Neighbors.
Really?
I think it might be Thomas. I'm not super sold on Thomas. I think he has some good, I think he has a good skill set, but I'm not super sold on Thomas yet.
Yeah, I mean, I think it could be any of those guys. I don't know. I don't know if he'll get drafted high enough. I think it's possible. Like, I could see Carolina taking him at 33. But if Xavier Legette goes there, I think he's that guy.
Ooh, yeah, I just don't see Xavier Legette going that early. That's why.
Like, I do think Legette will go in the second round, but he probably doesn't go until, like, the 40s, I would guess. You know, or even into maybe the 50s, but he's like an early to mid second rounder to me. I don't think he goes first round.
Yeah, I have him as a late second, early third rounder. So
I think he'll go a little earlier than that, but I don't think he should.
I don't think so either. All right, let's talk next guy. So Brian Thomas out of LSU. That's two in the top four from LSU. They are, if you want to look at LSU wide receivers, they're pretty good. I don't know if you've heard of these guys.
Yeah, usually very good.
Yeah, so 6'3", 209, 997 RAS. So perfect, just 0.03 away from a perfect 10. Maybe if you put down the cheeseburger, Brian Thomas, and weighed a little less, you would have had a perfect RAS.
Actually, if you weighed more,
a little more. Yeah,
you needed to eat two cheeseburgers.
Yeah, just like, pick up the cheeseburger.
Just like Marvin Harrison.
Yeah. All right. So, Mike, let's talk about Brian Thomas out of LSU, who you, Walker, and I. I was like, who has him fourth? Oh, I do. I'll have him fourth. Tony has him fifth. So let's talk about Brian Thomas.
Yeah, just like Neighbors, he's a true deep threat. Can work both, just like Marvin Harrison Jr., can work from both outside the slot and in the slot. Navigates the open field very well. He, when it comes to press coverage, he can avoid it very well. He needs to do a little bit better job at hand fighting, but he doesn't have to either because he avoids that press hand pretty well. When it comes to bending the hips and breaking the route, he does that also pretty well. The negatives for Thomas is footwork and coordination. He's just not very coordinated as a receiver. When defensive backs do lock their hands on him, he does not very well at trying to get released, and can struggle finding the ball and fight for the ball in traffic, and does have some occasional drops when it comes to catching the ball.
Yeah, Walker, what are your thoughts on Brian Thomas?
I think, he's clearly freakishly athletic. Mm-hmm. He's very fast. He can be sudden. His explosiveness is there. I mean, he gets up to top speed pretty quickly. He's a great leaper, pretty agile. So, yeah, definitely a projectable athlete. The production definitely there as well. I think, as Mike said, certainly he is a downfield threat. If he beats you off the line, you're probably not going to get back into the play. Definitely needs to be polished. I don't think he's ever going to be like a top 10 route runner in the league.
No,
but I can't imagine that happening. But I think he will be a very good like go up and get it guy. Mm-hmm. And if he is your second best wide receiver, you will be very happy. I think. I think he is like he's a T. Higgins style individual.
A T. Higgins style individual. I think so. I have a lot of the same notes that you guys do. Great high point player, incredibly athletic, not the best route runner in the world. I think he's going to be a mid-second rounder.
He's going to go in the first.
I'm sorry. I got ahead of myself. The guy I'm comping him to was a mid-second rounder. I'm sorry. I got it backwards. Sorry. He's a big case of boneheaditis, highlight player. If you watch him down to down, sometimes you're scratching your head about what he's doing, but he's a freak athletic marvel. George Pickens.
Mm-hmm.
I comped him to George Pickens, and I think he goes to the Colts. The thing that stood out to me for Brian Thomas, 4.33 40 at 209 pounds. That is 0.02 seconds slower than Troy Franklin, who he has 30 pounds on.
Wow. He is capital B, capital F, big and fast.
Yeah, he is the most common phrase in draft profiles, a rare blend of size and speed.
That's right. Yeah, actually true here. I mean, I think Thomas has a lot of seasons in his future where he has less than 70 catches, but more than 1,000 yards.
Oh, yeah. That's perfect. The
65 catches for 1,050 yards and 9 touchdowns.
1,000?
1,050.
I know, but I've never heard it called 1,000 before.
I didn't really mean to say that. I don't usually say it that way.
My brain just would not let me get past 1,050.
That's understandable. Yeah, I shouldn't have said that. It's not like it's recorded or anything.
Yeah, no, this isn't going out to the universe. So, Mike, how would you feel about Brian Thomas on your Indianapolis Colts?
I think their defensive backs would complain. I'm not in favor of them picking a wide receiver. I think they need to go defensive backs.
What if another team just gives them another first rounder, Mike, out of the goodness of their heart?
If they're so inclined to do so, then I would take Brian Thomas as well. Yes.
All right. So go ahead, Walker.
I just wanted to ask Mike, who is your preferred pick right now?
I don't really have one. I haven't really looked at the defensive back, so I can't really honestly say.
There is a correct answer, and it has come. I haven't watched them either, but you have to go with the rule of the name.
I think the right pick there, because I don't think Terrion Arnold is my number one corner, but I don't think that he'll be there. I would take Nate Wiggins, but I think Jeff's going to say Kool-Aid.
Yes, just because of the name. History. The rule of the name. Or if you're going to take an edge, you got to go Chop. Chop. Chop and Kool-Aid, baby. Some great names in this draft, by the way.
True.
And then just scrolling down, there are some typo names, like Mike Sainristil. Not a name. Sorry, bro.
That's a really good player.
Yeah, not a very good name, though.
That's fine.
That's a typo name.
Okay, whatever.
Marshawn Kneeland. That's a great name for a backup quarterback who comes in to end the game, so your quarterback doesn't get -1 rushing yards.
Western, both the guys you're complaining about their names, both from Michigan.
Yeah. What about that? We got to shut down Michigan until we can figure out what the hell is going on.
What the hell?
I'm a normal named person from Michigan, says the person who is named Walker.
Walker's a normal name.
I mean, it's a normal name. It's just not a common name.
That's true. All right. So we talked about Brian Thomas. Let's talk about the newest wide receiver for the Buffalo Bills, A.D. Mitchell. So I had to move around by where we were going to have him going. I think with the trade today, I think A.D. Mitchell would work out well for the Bills. I think I originally had him falling to the Patriots. I think he is just plain flat out. He's like an NFL wide receiver. He's like a worse version of Roma Dunze to me. He's slightly smaller. He's 6'3", 205, whereas Odunze is a 6'3", 212. Slightly more athletic, 9'9", 8 on the res. I think that he is big and strong. I think he has he's very good at running a variety of routes already. But his biggest problem that I saw, he sometimes plays down to the guy defending him. And he's always, like, ideally one of the best players on either side of the ball in the secondary, wide receiver or defensive back. But he does sometimes play down to guys. I think he has an incredible catch radius. He uses it to get hard yards when the play breaks down, meaning he makes himself available to the quarterback. We talked about that with the running backs last week? That was a guy that I loved. Brooks. Marshawn Lloyd.
Oh, sure.
Brooks. It was Brooks. I take that.
Yeah.
It was Brooks. And I think that that's something that'll be getting those cheap yards, cheap catches are cheap fantasy points. And I think that somebody who's good at that sort of thing gets you those cheap and easy fantasy points. I think he has a PhD in leverageology. He's very good at leveraging his breaks to maximize where he's going to be in relation to the ball and his defender to maximize his yards after the catch. 4.34 40 yard dash at the combine at 6.3 205. He checks like all the boxes that I want for a fantasy wide receiver. I think he can immediately step in and be a number one or number two, and I think he'll thrive in either depending on his landing spot. I comped him to T. Higgins. I had originally had best fit as the Patriots, but given the trade of Stephon Diggs today, I did move some stuff around. I did put him going to the Bills. I think that he at 28 is a perfect fit for the Bills because I had him going early round two to the Patriots.
I gotcha. Yeah, I think the Bills are probably the likeliest outcome right now, but anywhere between like I could see as early as maybe 24 to Dallas, and then as late as like 34 maybe would be as far as I would go. So definitely a late first projection.
Yeah, I had him late one, early round two. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on A.D. Mitchell or Adonai Mitchell, A.D. Mitchell as a player?
I think he's all right. I like his athleticism. I think that he is a pretty good route runner. I don't think he really plays all that strong. He's clearly athletic and he's good at leaping up and getting the ball. So he's a decent red zone target and he has caught a lot of touchdowns. But in terms of like fighting off the line, fighting for the ball, I don't love him. He's not as good after the catch as you should be when you're that good of an athlete. He was outproduced by Xavier Worthy, who is 166 pounds. He was also outproduced when he was at Georgia. So I don't think he is a number one receiver, and I'm afraid somebody's going to draft him to be a number one receiver, and then he will disappoint them.
I mean, I don't really see that happening. I think that he can be a number one wide receiver in the same vein as trying to think of kind of a lower end number one wide receiver. I think he is better suited as a number two, but he can be a number one. Like a Christian Kirk almost. Like he was the number one for the Jags and he had a pretty good season at that. But ideally he would be your number two.
Yeah. I mean I think that's fair. Like a Cortland Sutton type.
Yeah, Sutton's another decent
call. Where the yards per catch is gonna be pretty good. The touchdown production is likely gonna be pretty good. He's gonna make cool looking plays. But down to down, he's not the most impactful guy in the world. And if he's your number one receiver, that's fine. But you would want somebody better. If he's your number two receiver, that's fine. You know, I definitely still think he should be a day two pick. I just have guys in this class that are like my pet players that I have above him. Because I think they're either more polished or better after the catch, and I just value those things, you know. But I think you're definitely going to get splash plays out of Mitchell, and I think certainly he will be a guy who plays a lot of snaps because he's, you know, he will be a top three receiver on and pretty much any team he gets drafted to. So, I don't think he will hurt you when he's out there. I just don't. I don't see any like real star power here. I don't think he'll ever be better than a wide receiver too.
Okay. Mike, you join me with A.D. Mitchell in your top five. What are your overall thoughts on A.D. Mitchell? And one thing I forgot to ask is how are we tearing these guys? Do you have them in the same tier as Brian Thomas, or do you have them in a tier below Thomas?
I would say he's a tier below Thomas.
Okay. So, all right. So how do you feel about A.D. Mitchell as the player?
When it comes to route running, he's pretty excellent at that. And a variety of routes as well. Posts and digs and go routes, and he's just really, really solid when it comes to those areas, and he can make all the catches. So those are the two things that I really like, and a vertical threat as well. When it comes to yards after the catch, he can vary. Sometimes he's just awesome with yards after the catch. Other times, not so much. I don't like his blocking. That's one thing that really stood out to me was how bad of a blocker he really is. It's not good. And then when it comes to aggression, he doesn't always play at 100%. He will back off on that a little bit too. So he's just not someone that always goes at 100, especially when asked to run block.
Okay. I think that's a good rundown of the top five. Walker has some other guy who doesn't belong in the top five that I guess we can talk about. Keon Coleman, Florida State, 6'4", 213, 912 RAS, just trash RAS.
It's only in the elite range.
Yeah, but it's not as elite as the rest. It's green, but the rest are like super green. But he's
your standard spinach. Those other motherfuckers are kale.
Yeah, I was gonna say he's a Kelly green, and everybody else is a Seahawks Sharpie green.
Kelly green is the best green, obviously.
It's not because it's not the brightest. All right, Walker, let's talk about your.
they're sending their best, not their brightest. But
their best. let's talk about Keon Coleman, your wide receiver 5 in the class. I have him at 6, so it's not like I hate him.
Yeah, Mike, where do you have Coleman?
I have him at 6 as well.
Okay, cool. Yeah. All right. That's good. Coleman is he's definitely another go up and get it guy. He is he's good in contested catch situations. He is not he's not a straight line burner, but he gets up to his speed very quickly. He has great acceleration, great agility, great explosiveness. He's just not super fast, but he has shown route running chops. I would like him to get better at it, but I think you can say that about most receivers coming out of college, mm-hmm. that they could be sharper running routes.
And I think it's hard when you watch Marvin Harrison to start.
Right.
I mean, you're comparing everybody to Marvin Harrison, who is already a pro level.
He's already a pro at running routes. And you see Thomas and Coleman, you know, and I have Thomas and Coleman in the same tier, but they're you know, relying on their natural gifts a little bit more, and they need that refinement. But Coleman, if you're looking at the nerd stuff, Coleman produced at 19 years old, outproduced noted draft hit Jaden Reed at Michigan State, was outproducing Johnny Wilson at Florida State, however, before he got hurt, however much you value that. You know, Johnny Wilson, not my favorite guy in the world, but I just think, I think Coleman has a high ceiling. I think he definitely could be a number one receiver. I don't know if that's the most likely projection for him, but I think it's possible. I think he has the higher ceiling with Mitchell, and I think the floor is pretty much the same, in my opinion. I think he's never going to be like, I don't think he'll ever be an elite route runner, but I think he can become a good to great route runner. Mm-hmm. And I think that with his size, his suddenness, his acceleration. I think he'll be good after the catch as well. I haven't really figured out a great comp for him. Maybe Nico Collins.
That's who I have. Is Nico.
Yeah. Yeah. He seems like a guy who isn't ready right now to be a number one receiver, but definitely has the potential to become a number one receiver. Yes. If he's given the time and coaching.
And that's exactly what Nico did. Nico did basically nothing his rookie year.
I mean, he was what, like 500 yards or something?
Yeah, he was kind of just like your average receiver, and then he's developed into something great. Keon Coleman, for me, I think he's a very good leverage receiver as well, like I talked about with Mitchell. I did think that while he's not a very refined route runner, he is smart in kind of like that like Stevie Johnson range, where he's not running the most crisp routes out there, but he does find a way to make himself open against both off man and zone. He did struggle a little bit with press, but that with his size, I think that's just coaching can fix that. But yeah, he's not the most crisp or refined route runner, but he does find himself open. He is creative at it. I think that that's his best trait, is he's very good at finding space wherever he can get it. And also, what was really weird is I hate back shoulder fades with obvious reasons. Mm-hmm. 49ers lost two seasons off of them. I think that they're a very low probability play. I think they're very stupid. But Keon Coleman is incredibly good at them. They could run back shoulder fade after back shoulder fade, and I don't understand what he does that makes him so good, but he is so good at back shoulder fades. I think he's creative and fast with the ball in his hands, good high pointer. I think that I think he's kind of like we were talking about with was it Thomas, where he should be a team's number two.
But could grow into being a team's number one.
Yeah. So I have him with the Patriots. You know, they need everything on offense. I mean, everything. And so I think that if they start with like May or Daniels or
and you have a guy who you can in a pinch, you can just throw him in the ball and rely on him to get a few yards for you.
Exactly. Yeah. Taking a May or a Daniels or whoever they take there, and then pairing him with Keon Coleman, I think is a good way to build a decent base. Although comedy option, they take Bad McConkey.
So. Yeah, I mean, I and we'll go to Mike after this, but my favorite fit for him, because of his ability to get into space and his ability to run after the catch and be available to his quarterback, is actually Detroit. I know, but I think that he would work in that like Josh Reynolds role right away, where he could immediately soak up, you know, five targets a game, be in the spaces he's supposed to, and they can teach him how to block, because effort's not going to be an issue, and he's got a big frame and he's strong, so he'll figure it out. I think he can, you know, we don't need a number one or number two target because of St. Brown and Laporta, but we do need somebody who can soak up those Reynolds Raymond targets. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be about 85 of those, so Coleman would be perfect in his rookie season to do that. And then, you know, you end up with the decision on whichever one of Williams and Coleman is performing better, you keep, and the other one you don't pick up the option.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. I was like, what does this mean about your thoughts about Jameson Williams? Is it that you're just not, just because he hasn't done anything yet, you're not hitching your wagon to him at this point?
Right. I mean, I think Williams has, you know, there's been a myriad of factors, of course, as to the reasons why he hasn't been as productive as we would have liked. Mm-hmm. But part of that is the fact that he hasn't been a particularly refined receiver for most of his career. And he's, you know, his production has suffered because of that. He's more useful to a team on the field than he is for statistical production, and he always will be. But at the end of the season, he showed a lot more signs of becoming a better wide receiver. I think he probably ends up settling in as a, you know, he's a bit of a gimmicky home run hitter type player, but he's very, very good at being that player. So when he's the third option or fourth option in your offense, that's perfect.
Okay. Yeah, I think that J-Mo always was a very talented player who much of his draft price was projectables. Like when he was drafted, we talked about how he wasn't being drafted for his rookie year, obviously because of the injury. But so much of that of coming through on that projectable is getting on the field. And for whatever, you know, for a myriad of reasons, he hasn't been able to be on the field as much as you would hope. Some of that being the Lions all of a sudden being one of the best teams in the NFL, not being able to dedicate time and snaps to a guy who maybe isn't necessarily at the top of his game.
Exactly. So, yeah, they got good a little faster than they thought they were going to.
Yeah.
And J-Mo took longer than they thought he was going to get, you know, prepared for the role because he was hurt and then suspended. But yeah, I mean, he's at a point now where I certainly think he can be a starting receiver in the NFL. He's going to be one of the guys who gets top three snap share among the receivers. But no, he's not going to be he's not going to be a 100 catch guy. That's not who he is.
No, he's a deep threat guy. All right, Mike, let's hear your thoughts on Keon Coleman. And then I make an executive decision. Trey Riggs pick next week.
Yeah, okay. I like that. Yeah. That works for me too. Someone for his build, he's definitely very hard to tackle and track with his size and speed. I like the fact that he just is a bully out there, especially throughout the route and at the catch point. He's just going to man up and use his size and his strength to just bully the defensive backs out there. As far as the negatives go, acceleration, when it comes to getting out of his break and cuts, he'll take too many steps. Once it's time to break that route tree, he'll just takes too many steps and doesn't have that acceleration to get out of it very well, and needs to be better as a run blocker.
Okay. Where do you think he goes for his, what's the best place for him to go to his rookie year for production?
Ooh. Probably one of the teams that, like Tennessee, if they don't take a wide receiver in the first round, or maybe the Colts.
Carolina. I was gonna say, yeah, Carolina.
Carolina would be another option for him for sure.
Aren't the Titans suddenly lousy in wide receivers? I feel
they've they've got Hopkins and Ridley.
Yeah, and don't forget.
What, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine?
That's right.
Ikhine.
And what happened to what's his face? Treylon Burks. He's dead.
He's been hurt way too much and already was not the most refined guy. So he needed development and he hasn't gotten any because he's been hurt so much. So I think he's too far behind at this point.
Remember when they traded him or traded AJ Brown to get him and because they didn't want to pay AJ Brown?
Yeah, that was
real smart.
That was no, actually it was extremely stupid.
It was dumb as hell.
Yeah, we can just draft a guy who looks like him, and it'll be the same. Hey, we have AJ Brown at home. Classic failure.
Looking at what the Vikings did with Justin Jefferson and Stephon Diggs, going, well, it worked for them.
Yes.
Forgetting that Justin Jefferson is much better than Treylon. So, alrighty. Anything else about these six guys we want to talk about? Consensus top six right now. We have Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Roma Dunze, Brian Thomas, A.D. Mitchell, and Keon Coleman. These are all guys we think are going first or early second round. There's some more guys that might go in that range. We'll talk about those guys next week behind the premium paywall. Even though Walker set a curse, I'm going to leave it in there. anything else, Mike?
No, I think we're good. I like that top six is pretty solid.
I think so too. Walker, any final thoughts?
Just so you can yell at me one last time. I have A.D. Mitchell, wide receiver 11.
That's ridiculous.
11?
11?
11.
11?
Yes.
Mike, you got to kick Walker off the podcast.
Yeah. I don't know about that one.
We're out of there. Out of there. 11, Walker?
11, yeah.
So, who do you have top 10?
Harrison,
Harrison at one. Oh, sorry.
Oh. What is wrong with you, man?
Harrison, Neighbors, Adunze, Thomas, Coleman, Worthy, McMillan, Franklin, Washington, Pearsall.
Ridiculous. That is preposterous, Walker. Why do you hate 80 Mitch? What is... Okay, rewind. Why is... We'll just go with all 172 pounds of Xavier Worthy. Why is he above 80
Because
Mitchell?
He literally outproduced him on the same team.
So what?
So he's better.
It's college.
He's good. I mean, it's Worthy has produced every year of his career. He's incredibly fast. I don't see why he can't be at worst Marquise Brown.
I think he's more Marquise Goodwin than Marquise Brown. Also, Marquise Brown, low-key, extremely disappointing as an NFL player.
I mean, he's a number two receiver. I think, like I said, I think Worthy can be, at least Marquise Brown.
Where did you put Troy Franklin?
Eight.
Okay.
I have him 10. We'll talk more about this next week.
Yeah, I'm sure that I also have some. I'm sure I also have some guys that you guys have way higher, way lower as well. And these are guys that we probably won't talk about at all, so we're not like taking content from the podcast. But you're gonna be mad. I think it's good content.
You're gonna be mad. I think it's good content. That's episode title.
I have Jalen Polk at 15.
Jalen Polk, he is on my list to watch tomorrow.
Gotcha.
So I can't be mad at that.
That's fine. Roman Wilson, 13. I don't know if that's gonna make anybody mad. It'll make Tony mad.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we're gonna let's empty the notebook next week. Let's do that next week.
All right.
I haven't watched all of these guys, so I don't want to be like, oh, okay.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. No. Okay. Last thing I'll say: Jermaine Burton, not good.
Jermaine Burton, not even on my list to watch. So, Walker, you gave me the list, and then I pared it down for guys that are not
declaring.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, because so. I remember I had J. Michael Sturdivant on the list, and he did not come out.
Yeah, A-plus name, by the way. I was very upset that name was not.
Well, you're not going to be that upset because he's not very good, but he does have a cool name.
He does have a cool name. So, all right, that'll do it for this week's episode of the Football History Podcast. We'll be back next week to empty the notebook, talk about all those guys Walker named and more. Maybe a little looking at the list here, Jacob Cowing? Not a player I know anything about. I've not watched him yet.
Productive, but tiny.
Seems bad. So, all right. For Mike and Walker, this is Jeff. Thanks for listening. Take care and have a good one.
Bye.